All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It's, what is today? September the 30th, 2022. Amazing day here on the East Coast. It is Friday. Beautiful. Well, I shouldn't say. It's a beautiful day because I'm alive and I'm sober. Serene, not so much today, but definitely sober. And, yeah, it's a little overcast. We're starting to get some of that, you know, thoughts and prayers to anybody down in Florida or wherever a person or people may be on the East Coast that have been affected by Ian. That storm was a bitch. And as a person who lives on the East Coast, this is sort of the thing we deal with. I know Florida seems to, lately it's been Florida, New Orleans, down in that area, down in the Gulf, but we've definitely had our share of hurricanes come rolling through our area, and it is nothing nice. So, you know, thoughts and prayers. Hope everybody's getting okay or is okay. I have definitely have family and friends down there. Seems like everybody has made it through it, but man, it's the aftermath. It's the hard part, and we've lived, you know, unfortunately, because we live right on the East Coast. We are, there was a, when Sandy hit, I think it was, that hit New Jersey. I mean, it was literally miles, and it could have been a completely different story for here in Rehoboth. And, but, you know, it's weird how hurricanes hit. But we've definitely had some scares, and so, you know, definitely we're thinking of the folks down there. And thinking of our boy Tua, quarterback for Miami Dolphins last night. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's so sad because that guy shouldn't have even been playing. And this is my opinion. I really can't believe somebody would have a different one. But, I mean, he got his bell rung last week, and he should have been in protocol. He shouldn't have even played. And the fucking ungodly, the worst of worst happens. He gets hit again, slammed his head to the ground. And if anybody saw the game, it wasn't pretty. I hope he is doing okay. I'm sure he is not. I'm sure he has a serious... They said he's moving his arms and legs, which is good. You know, that's always, you know, it's the baseline, right? But I hope he's all right in the brain. You know, I've talked before about my niece Lily, who got a head injury from a car accident. It is rough. And I feel like, you know, it's just going to be another incident that's going to expose more and more, unfortunately, for the NFL, which is my absolute favorite sport to watch. I love football, and I have all the respect in the world for these guys. I wish somebody would have not let him play. I wish he would have stayed out yesterday and avoided all that. But, you know, it's a passive-aggressive environment, man. And you, when you're a quarterback and you have that opportunity, you have to take it, right? Because, you know, it's like life. Listen, man, if you don't want to do it, you don't think you can do it, you can set and we can put somebody else in. And you're like, hell no, this is my opportunity I'm going for. Nothing's stopping me. And unfortunately, it's one of those situations where it sort of came back and bit him. And I hope thoughts and prayers go out to my boy Tua for the... And Miami is not my favorite team. I do not root for Miami. But in the world that I live in, I just love football. So anybody that plays football gets my utmost respect. And I hope he's doing okay today. But yeah, that seems to be the two weird things that are going on right now. So the point of talking about the hurricane is we are sort of next for the hurricane. I think it'll be I don't think it's going to be the hurricane that, you know, went into Florida, but we're definitely going to have some storms. We had a big music festival set up this weekend over in Ocean City. Dave Matthews, Alanis Morissette, all the big ones, they were playing down in Ocean City this weekend. They have now canceled that. It was going to be rain or shine, but now they've canceled it, which usually means, you know, we're going to have a pretty good soaking. I don't know if we'll have, I know we won't have the winds, but we're definitely going to have a rain event. So, but whatever, that's kind of what's going on here for today. I haven't done a podcast lately. I'm a little... had to take a little break. I started doing a bunch of podcasts, and then I was, I'd do half of one, and I was like, I didn't particularly care for it, and I'd stop, and then I'd forget what I talked about. So I became very confused in my thoughts. So I had to step back for a minute and, you know, one, just see if I still like doing the podcast, which I do. Two, I want to do, if I do the podcast, I want to make some sort of sense. And I felt like I was getting a little out there. So had to reel myself in and remind myself it's just something I love to do. It's not a big deal. And hopefully everyone's good. So we went to a couple of things. We went to Firefly this past weekend, had an amazing time. We went on Sunday. We do a podcast, me and three other friends, I'll keep them anonymous, do a podcast called the Discovery Music Podcast. You're more than welcome to check it out. It's a lot of fun. We kind of bring new music to the podcast and just find, you know, I think it's almost like trying to stump each other, like, look at this band I found, you know, and it's kind of, you know, where in the past you might find a band where they have like like if you're on Spotify, you know, if you follow music on Spotify, you know that a lot of these bands have followers and they have listens and there's numbers and, you know, we look at them and I personally have the most fun finding bands with the low amount of listens that are, you know, 500,000 listens or something like that. And that's just kind of in there. But we have a lot of fun with it, bringing a lot of different music. And it's, for the last couple of months or so, we've been going through all the Firefly lineup, which has been a lot of fun. And then finally, we had the big festival this weekend, and we've interviewed a few bands, and one of the bands, Teddy Beats, and his manager, Mandy, gave us some tickets for Sunday. So my wife and I got to go, and just super grateful for that. And, you know, it's a great reminder of what, you know, sobriety has brought us. Right? Sobriety has allowed us to be involved and do different things that has allowed us to go to concerts and do, you know, actually we got like guest passes, right? So we were like in the VIP area. It was really cool. Didn't get to meet, you know, anybody like super famous, but, you know, it was fun. We got a taste, right? A taste of behind the scenes kind of stuff, which is always fun. It was great. We got there around 11:45. There was a band, Oh He Dead. I think I've played them on this podcast. Just a great band out of D.C. It was fun to hang and watch that band. And then we got to see The Regrets, and we got to see Dorian Electra, and we got to see Floor. And the big bands play at night. And so Sunday was our day. We're super excited to get out there, and we wanted to see T-Pain. And Dua Lipa was finishing out the festival Sunday night. And we were excited because these tickets really allowed us to get pretty damn close. Closer to in a show than I've ever been, to be honest. And like 4:30, we're watching The Regrets, who are an amazing band. Check them out if you haven't heard of them or seen them or listened to them. And like 4:45, all of a sudden, all the screens go yellow. Evacuate the festival. Storms, find shelter in your car. And we're like, what? And it's like, meh, 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 all through the festival. So basically, they evacuated the whole place because a thunderstorm was coming. And we could see the whole time. You know, it was definitely overcast. I heard somebody talk about we were maybe going to get some rain in the afternoon. So I was definitely paying attention to it. You could see the thunderstorms and shit come rolling towards us. So I knew I was like, let's get next to a tent. So if it does start raining, we can kind of duck in one of these places and just sort of stay dry. But no, they evacuated the whole place, which I do understand. You know, if it's a lightning event and you have 1,000 people stuffed under a big metal tent and it gets hit by lightning, you are going to regret it. And so I think the safe thing, which, you know, is smart. Do the safe thing, right? Let's not put people at risk. But for us, it was a huge inconvenience, of course, right? I mean, I never would say that, but inside I'm like, well, this is an inconvenience, because we had to walk all the way back to our car, which is probably easily a mile, if not a mile and a half. It's not that far, but, you know. And then I was telling the folks in the podcast, because we did it yesterday, and I had to admit that we actually went to our car and then we actually went home. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I've never been evacuated out of a festival. And I wasn't sure what to do. So we got in the car, and eventually we just decided to go home. My friends all ended up at the casino drinking. And I was like, well, no wonder you guys went to the casino and were drinking, because we never heard from you. Which is, you know, kind of another sort of subject, but we ended up going home and then sat at home and was full of regret, because we're like, what the fuck did we go home for? We should have stayed. It was awesome. You know, I don't know. But we actually had an amazing weekend. Luckily, we got there early and were able to see, you know, some bands and got a little taste of the festival. Firefly is a great festival. 4-day festival. I think Halsey opened it up on Thursday. My Chemical Romance played on Friday. Green Day was on Saturday. And then Dua Lipa was on Sunday. And a shitload of bands all before each of those bands. So, great weekend. That's what we did. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, it's funny. You know, I love being sober. My wife loves being sober. We're very, very grateful. But man, sometimes it's fucking, it can be a little lonely, right? I've talked about this before as just an issue that some people are lonely and boring, right? We try not to be boring, but lonely can be, because, you know, when we went to the festival, we were trying to hang out with all of our friends, the people I do the podcast with. And when everything got evacuated, they went to the casino and to the bar, and we weren't invited, right? Yeah, so we were laughing because I did the podcast with the guys and the girl yesterday, and I was like, yeah, you guys must have, I thought you all went home because we didn't hear any more texts from you guys. Like, in our, we have a group text, and I was like assuming they all went home, but no, they went to the bar, and they did not invite us, which is absolutely fine. But it is, you know, it is one of the, you know, if I was going to look at it, I'd say it's one of the downfalls of being sober, but you know, if I'm going to look at it all the way through, it's one of the great things about being sober, because that is, those are the moments, you know, my God, the bar, let's go to the casino. We'll just have one. That is the devil, right? That is the temptation. And I don't think I know if they just say, hey, we're going to go to the casino and go to the bar, you want to go with us? I'd be like, I probably would have been no. Or, because my wife and I did go to the casino a few months ago for, I don't know, some celebration. And we dropped a couple $100 down at the casino and had a lot of fun. But both of us looked at ourselves and said, this is not a place for us. And, you know, I don't want to get into the habit of going to the casino. But maybe we'd have considered it just because, you know, maybe we could have gone and just got a drink or a soda or something and just played a little bit of slots or something. But no, we didn't get invited, which is fine, but it is one of the, it's a good or bad, you know, and I have to just keep, you know, reminding myself, you know, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do. You know, I can't live the life I used to live when I used to party and do drugs and carry on. I can't live that life and still have the peace of mind, right? Because that's, for me, I just, when I get in those situations, I don't know, I get uncomfortable, I lose a little bit of my brains, right? I start having too much fun, and then the next thing you know, I don't know where it leads me. So I just don't hang out in casinos. All right, sorry, had a phone call. That's, you know, it's another great thing about being sober. You know, it's we talked about Florida. You know, I have friends and family down in Florida. Well, I've shared before, I was married to my first wife, and I got divorced. She left me. She walked out of the house. It's so funny that this pot just happened just now, because I wanted to talk about... I wanted to talk about something. So I was at a meeting the other day, and a guy was saying, and people say this all the time, and it fucking drives me nuts. It really bothers me. But this guy was sharing that he just doesn't believe that this program and half these steps and stuff like that are really for him. He's like, one day I just decided I wanted to get sober, and then I came to a meeting, and I haven't really needed anything else. I don't feel like drinking, and I feel like I'm sober, and I just don't feel like these steps are really worth working. I feel pretty good, and I was like, you know, first of all, why the fuck do you think that that's really appropriate to say? You know, it is not our responsibility to save everybody, but it is our responsibility to try to refrain from fucking making people think negatively about getting sober. And when a person says that they don't need these steps, or they don't need certain parts, or they don't need the God part, you know, we were talking about the whatever the prayer is written by the saint, and he's like, it says right here, we are not saints, but this prayer that they want us to say was written by a saint. And I'm like, whatever, you know, to each his own, right? But it's a fucked up message. And you know, I'll never forget, you know, I came in 1997, March 31st, 1997. I got my ass kicked, went to the hospital, hid in BB hospital for 5 days, and finally came out, and AA came and found me. And I loved the newness of it. I loved the new not drinking. I loved everything. I loved it. And dived headfirst. You know, I was in it. And I had never been married. I was at the bottom, right? And first coming to AA, it allowed me. And, you know, I tend to forget this, but actually when I was in the hospital, I had an outpatient program. I did that for a year with my buddy Rick and some other friends, and we were all in it together. But, you know, I like to say that it was all AA, but it really wasn't. It was an outpatient, intensive outpatient program that I used to do after work. And it was a huge help. For some reason, I forget to talk about that. You know, I like to think that it was all AA and me, but it really wasn't. It was this intensive program I did that was a huge help. But the point is that, you know, it felt so good to feel better that I was in it. And, you know, I'm cruising right along. But one of the things that I think back on is how fragile I was. You know, it had to be... You know, I quickly got into a system. You know, I went to a meeting every day. I would stop at this place and get a coffee. I would head to the meeting. I would hang out. I would chat. I would do my thing. And then I would, you know, maybe hang out afterwards or do something after the meeting with somebody from the program, and then eventually go home. And because I had no life, right? You talk about this. We have no life. Make AA your life. So I made AA my life. People say it's a cult. I don't know. Anytime there's some sort of system like that, I guess it feels cultish. I needed a cult, I guess. I can tell you AA's never called on me, right? I've only had to call on AA. But whatever. So it was very, you know, it was very routine, right? And I loved it. And I remember my sponsor says, don't do anything for the first year. And of course, I did not listen. And, you know, because I like, you know, I hate being lonely, right? So I'm always looking for a girlfriend. At the time, I was in no shape to be dating anybody that had anything going on for themselves. So, you know, I had a lot of work to do, but I did it. You know, I worked on myself and whatever, and I was fine. Everything was good. I had a sponsor, and we were rocking and rolling. I was celebrating years. I think I was on my fourth year. I'd celebrated my 4 years. And then I decided to go and get a job over in Eastern Maryland. And it exposed everything. It exposed, first of all, how fragile my sobriety was. it exposed that I was really just sober. I was not serene. I had no idea. I had just basically putting down the drink. That was it. You know, and I was doing a lot of lip service. I was trying to say the right things. I was trying to do the right things, but I had really had no idea what was going on. And I'd worked all the steps, but I'd just gone through them, you know, and I've shared before, I feel like the early sobriety is really a lot of self stuff. You know, look at me, I'm achieving, I'm checking boxes off, I'm finishing steps. You know, it's all about, for a guy that was so far down, just waking up felt good, right? High five, right? Just showing up. And I've said before, don't confuse doing regular work with doing something awesome, right? I had spent so much time not doing anything and being a total piece of shit that when I finally started to partake in or participate in normal, what the 99% of the rest of the humans do on a daily basis, which is usually get up, take a shower, have some breakfast, go to work, work a day, come home, watch some TV, do whatever it is, go to bed and do it all over again. You know, when I started to get into that wheelhouse of doing stuff, I started to feel like I was like awesome, right? And I've said it enough, you know, don't confuse that with fucking normal behavior, because that is exactly what it is. That's what normal people do. And, but you know, it felt good. And, you know, and I've said before, every single day is another day away from that day that got you into the program. And those stitches fade and the band-aids fade and the memories fade. And, you know, everything seemed good until I took that job over in Easton. And I'm like, you know, I need to get into, I got to find a meeting. And I did that. I did everything I was supposed to, got involved with the new meeting, got a home group. But the home group and the way the meeting was run was different, right? The sun seemed to come in the window different. Everything was different. I'd become so emotionally reliant on the meetings that I went to, that if it wasn't one of those meetings, I seemed to become, it started to expose the real lack of peace of mind that was in me, which was this, you know, the meetings aren't run right. They don't take the money in the, at the right time. I think here in Rehoboth, we used to go to a lot of meetings early on. They would pass the basket halfway through the meeting. I think there they did it right away, right? And then the guy would sit there and count the money during the meeting, which would drive me crazy. It's like all this shit that was quite honestly none of my business. But fuck it, sure, it became part of my business, right? And the next thing you know, I am thinking about drinking. And then the next thing you know, there's this voice that's like, how's it going? You know, where have you been? And I couldn't shake the fucking thought, right? I could not shake the thought. And then I decided the voice started getting a little louder. And I stopped going to the meetings, and the guy counting the money stopped, became even more annoying, and everything else became more annoying. And then that voice just got me one day when I was just, you know, full of self, and said, hey, man, look how good you've done. And I was like, you're right. You know, I'm pointing out problems in meetings. I'm pointing out how badly these meetings are run. I'm above this shit. And he said, well, maybe the voice said, well, maybe you should try having a drink. And I made that fucking right turn into that liquor store. It didn't take but a second. A second. Prior to that, I thought I was absolutely fine. Prior to that, I actually was praising myself, right? This is a true, this is a fucking sign, right? And that guy, anybody that says out loud they don't need steps and they don't need these meetings. And I think this was the guy's second meeting that day, right? It's like he's a fucking parasite. He just wants what's there, which is fine, but doesn't need any of it, right? And but I know that when I say shit like that out loud, I'm headed to a fucking drink. I'm not saying that guy is, good luck, brother. But I know for me, when I become so arrogant to say in a meeting, these steps, I don't need these steps, I'm fine without them, I'm headed somewhere. I'm not headed towards a drink, right? Because I completely lost the fact that there's other people in the room that might feel differently, right? And that's what's important. It isn't about us. We've focused on us for too fucking long. It's time to be considerate of others. And saying that these steps don't work and that you don't really need them, to me, isn't necessary. You just doesn't, it doesn't need to be said. And as someone that's working a program and someone that's good in their sobriety and their serenity would know to themselves, maybe I don't feel like I need these steps, but I also know that I don't need to say it. Right? And that's the place I was at. I was living this life of judgment and opinions, and honestly, none of it was none of my business. My business is to show up, shut up, and sit the fuck down and enjoy the meeting and then go the fuck home. Not to have an opinion. You know, I've always just gone to meetings. I've never gotten into the business side of the meetings. I've never been, whatever these people are. And I appreciate them. Thank you. We need all these guys. But I've never, it's been too much of an inconvenience for me to get involved, right? Because I have a job, right? I can't do these meetings, these other meetings, these business meetings, these other parts of the program, you know, GSR and different things like that. I can't be bothered with it. I mean, I would like to try to do it. I'm just not, for some reason, I just don't really have any desire. I also know sort of inside that getting involved in that is a little self too. So, but the whole point is that, you know, when I was living over in Easton, sober as a judge on the outside, but that peace of mind, I didn't have it. My peace of mind was all over the place, and it started talking to me. And then I fucking made that right turn in that liquor store and drink, and the gig was up. I hook, line, and sinker. I was fucking on the line, and it was on, and I could not stop. And then I was fucking talking to my wife about, you know, so I'm drinking now, right? I'm already drinking. And now the voice is like, maybe we can tell your wife, hey, I think, you know, I'm going to try drinking. And I'm like, I don't think she's going to go for it. And he's like, well, you know, try it. Maybe we'll, and this is the devil. This is the self-centered side of me having a conversation with me. And it's like, you know, well, maybe we'll just try it. We'll negotiate. And I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to try drinking. I'm just going to drink beer. And, you know, I'll just have a few. Oh, my God. The beginning of a fucking nightmare. And, you know, my wife at the time, her and I never fought. We never fought. I mean, that's one of the great things about being sober for me today. I mean, my wife today and I almost got in a fight. And I said, you know, I love you. I'm out. And we won't fight. We'll work it out. But it's the same way. You know, we didn't fight. And as soon as I started drinking, her and I started fighting. And I remember a big fight in Ocean City. The one big drunken fight we ever had, because she was like, we are not doing that again. And that was the end of her and I trying to think that we could drink together or drink. Or that was the end of me thinking I could drink, really, publicly. I could drink secretly, but not publicly. And I'll never forget the negotiations and then we fighting and cell phones got thrown. It was a nightmare. And but fast forward, you know, my wife or my ex-wife, you know, one day I could, like I said, I ended up moving back to Rehoboth, still quietly, secretly drinking, opened a landscaping business. I'd, you know, go to the crew, meet the crew, get everybody started. And then I go to the liquor store and buy alcohol and drink it all day and just be fucking hammered. It was a fucking disaster. And one day, I woke up one morning and my wife was gone, right? And left. And good for her. Took my son. You know, fast forward to today, and that phone call that I just got was my ex-mother-in-law, my first wife's mom, letting me know that my ex-sister-in-law and ex-brother-in-law who live down in Florida are evacuating the area and heading up here. And she said, Denise needs to get her hair colored. Can you do it? And I'm like, of course. I mean, I really didn't have any openings, but of course, when this opportunity comes along and Denise needs something, I am absolutely going to take care of her, figure that out. But that's it, right? That's it for me. That's my life today. That is, you know, I could pack up, I could open a suitcase and fill it with a lot of sad and pathetic memories of the past and how bad it was. And I don't forget. I don't shut the door on it because I do like to share because to the guy who doesn't need the fucking steps, keep talking about it, man. You know, I drink after 5 years and I Asked me the day before I drank, I was solid as a rock. The next day, I wanted it on the rocks. That fucking quick. So people that are fucking out there saying they don't need steps and they don't need God and they're going to cherry pick this program, keep picking. Because it'll fucking come and get you. And just the fact that you think that you can say that in a meeting, you're already fucking, to me, you're not headed towards sobriety, you're headed away from it. Do what you want. I know when I'm having an opinion, when I'm that way, when I'm saying shit like that, I'm still sick. And I need to check myself. And I hope that guy's going to be great. I mean, he's a nice guy. Listen, everybody's fine. It just kind of annoys me because this, I've been sober. I've had the voice. I've drank because of it. And I've somehow scratched my way back into this program. And today I know that's dangerous. That's some dangerous stuff. And, but it's all good. And so, when it all said and done, the point is today, I've spent the last 16, 17 years, trying to clean up my mess, trying to, that living amends, right? You can only say sorry so many times. When my relationship ended with my first wife, my relationship with my in-laws was not good, especially with my father-in-law. He's hardcore, and he did not appreciate that shit. Him and I, we're okay, right? I mean, he's come and done some work at my salon, and I think him and I are at a good spot. But my mother-in-law calling because Denise needs her hair done. That's, this is just a living amends. Guys, I'm sorry I drank. I'm sorry I fucked up our marriage and our relationship. But I'm going to do everything I can from this point on to, be solid. Be there, number one, for David, my son. And then, whenever anybody in the family ever needs anything, I hope they know that, listen, call Tom. He's available because he's sober, right? Hopefully. But yeah. Anyway, I'm going to try to get back into doing this. It's a trip, man, doing this podcast because I want to share just sort of this kind of stuff, just these simple little things. I was at a meeting the other day and this guy was talking about AA gurus, right? These AA gurus. And he goes, "Have you ever seen an AA guru run?" I don't want to be an AA guru. I'm not an AA guru. Hopefully this podcast comes off in a way that I'm just sharing some of my stories. But I will say that if you go to a meeting every day and you get yourself a sponsor and you work these steps, all of them, just try it. Like I tell my kid, just try it. If you don't like it, put it on your plate. Try the God stuff, the good stuff. Get into it. You're not going to burst into flames. You personally and I personally have probably been already living in hell, right? And I love these steps. I love this program. I'm so grateful for it. I hope, everybody's having a great day. I'm not going to do a reading. I'm just going to move it on, and we'll try to get back into our routine. Hope everyone's having a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.